that summoneth men in my name is verily of me. And he will show forth that which is beyond the power of all them that dwell on earth.
Yes.
What a fantastic promise.
Can I quote you on that?
Yes, please.
We rest our case.
Thank you.
Well, beloved friends, I'll try to speed along to the end. But you've heard five separate sources of divine infallibility. The Bab, Baha'u'llah, Abdu'l-Bahá, Shoghi Effendi, Universal House of Justice, tell us what we can accomplish. Heal all the ills of the world. Powers of the earth can't stop us. We'll be victorious in all we undertake, no matter how difficult, how seemingly insuperable, no matter how hopeless, if only we will arise to win the goals. No wonder the Master said, "Oh, my beloved soldiers, have no fear of defeat. Our supreme commander is Baha'u'llah. From the heights of glory, he is directing this engagement. Why are ye silent? Shout. Why are ye sitting? Move. This is not the day of rest and comfort." And then those haunting words of the beloved guardian that should haunt us every day of our lives. He said, "The world, with all the various calamities that have befallen it, will be completely ravaged and its civilization demolished if the Baha'is do not come to its help and imbue it with the spirit that Baha'u'llah has brought into the world. The economic factions, political parties, national hatreds, racial prejudices, and religious antagonisms will continue to bring about devastating wars until the spirit of the cause permeates the heart of man and its universal teachings pull down the existing barriers. So let us be reminded by the misery we see around us and arise for the prosecution of our noble duty." When I say that the friends, all of us, from top to bottom, fall away from the work of the faith, beloved guardian, when I was on pilgrimage, said, "We don't fall away from the faith, but we fall away from the work of the faith." All of us do that to a degree. I know I do at times, and I'm sure that all of you do. And he said it isn't, made it very clear. It isn't because we don't love Baha'u'llah and the faith. It's because we don't understand yet who we are and what we are doing, that we are the hope of the world, that there's no hope for them without us, that a suffering humanity will continue to suffer and things will become worse unless we imbue them with the spirit that God brings into the world. The darling mother who says, "Well, my children are so young now and so many, I really can't do for the cause of God what I want to right now, but a little later on I'll do some wonderful things." She may not. Or the businessman who said, "Well, my business is so bad I really have to concentrate on it right now. I don't have time to do the things I'd like to do in business, but later on when things get straightened out, I'll do wonderful things." He probably won't. Or the youth, boy or girl, young man, young woman who says, "Well, I have to get my degree. My education comes first. Once I have that, I am going to do wonderful things for the cause of God." Maybe they are and maybe they are not. But you see one thing so beautiful about our cause. If the mother motive is pure, that's the whole thing. It doesn't matter how much time you have. It's not a matter of pressure. It's a matter of spirit. When you hear about these goals and you say, "Oh, gee, we have to do that again." No, you don't have to do that again, because we never have done that in the first place, ever yet. The time is going to come when we see 300 assemblies in Canada or whatever it may be, wherever it is, and it feels like a lot, but it's nothing. It's ashes. You just heard these promises. You can't sit out there and not feel that Almighty God, through the power of the cause of Baha'u'llah, could raise up these victories in no time at all if we would become instruments. So, if you're the mother and you want your children to become Baha'is, and you only have a little time for one fireside, but you give what time you have, however little, believe how wonderful it is. And the Supreme Concourse will take that time that you have and they will sanctify it, they will bless it. And however little time that is, because of the purity of your heart, you will win victories, mother, that other people who have all kinds of time but haven't put the cause of God first in their lives will fail to win. And the businessman who says, "Well, I'm doing this because I want to make more money. I can give more to the faith. I want to free myself earlier to retire and do more. I want to have more time for the cause of God." That is wonderful. And the purity of that motive will be accepted by Baha'u'llah. And he, even though he only has a weekend, will be in the right place. He'll see the right people. That power of heaven will come down and will touch his heart and somebody with whom he comes in contact. And you can't imagine the wonderful, exciting things that will happen in his life because of the purity of the motive. Same with the students. Maybe they can go and get their education in a gold country or a gold city. Marvelous. But if their intention, whatever time they have when they're studying, is to use what they have for Baha'u'llah, and they want their education to make them better servants of Baha'u'llah, the purity of that motive, too, will be accepted and sanctified by the powers on high. It will be. Surely you couldn't have heard those words and not know that it will be, and that we really haven't even begun to do the things we could do for the cause of God. We haven't called on this power. But they will have that power, and in that short time, they will win great victories. The important thing to remember is that we don't fall away from the work of the cause because we don't love it or Baha'u'llah, but because we don't understand the majesty and the greatness and the wonder of the blessed beauty and of his local assemblies and their supreme importance, or the glory of our own station. And these quotations were to help us. Think of all the energy and time and money we squander to become a success in material life, beloved friends, and yet we're the purpose of all creation because of this cause of God. Shouldn't we begin to sacrifice a little for the spiritual side, for the sake of the children, for the sake of a suffering mankind? Christ said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all else will be added unto you." He didn't say, "Seek ye all else, and the kingdom of God will be added unto you." But that's what's happening in the world out there, and to the degree that we fall away from the cause of God, that's what's happening to us. And we are raising up the kingdom of God on earth. We're not making these assemblies because they're Baha'i assemblies, local, national, universal. We are raising up the Christ-promised kingdom of God on earth. Abdu'l-Bahá said it is a prayer, not only a prayer, but a prophecy. "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And in this compilation first paragraph, it says, if we each would live only one of the principles of the cause in our lives with devotion and sincerity, we would behold the world become a new world, and the paradise would come to the earth, the kingdom of God in heaven. I want to tell you just one story, because my message is not for this conference, it's a personal message to each one of you here, that you will dedicate your life while you're here, try to inflame the hearts of everybody and wherever you go when you're home. Chart your life, see how much time you can give, and ask for the help of Baha'u'llah. I tell you just the story of one young man in India who longed to become a teacher of Baha'u'llah. He fell in love with the faith and learned about it, but he couldn't do anything teaching. Then he read about, if I could travel, if on foot, from the beloved master in the utmost poverty. Baha'u'llah said in the charter to the institutions of the cause of God on the site of Mount Carmel that he wanted to carry the faith to every city and every spot on the surface of the earth, and this young boy couldn't do that because he was paralyzed, totally paralyzed. He would never ever leave his bed, ever. He could use his hands and he could read and he studied and he loved Baha'u'llah, and his heart was broken because he read the movement from place to place would win victories. And he prayed and he believed all of the promises that were true, that light could come, and he could do something. It said no matter how feeble the instrument, didn't it? And so he prayed. And then finally two young men came, and they said, "We hear you know a lot about Baha'u'llah. Will you teach us?" He said, "Well, I don't know a lot, but I'll teach you what I do know." But he said, "Would you come back later? I want to think about how we can do this." And they left, and he thanked Baha'u'llah that he sent somebody to teach them. But that wasn't what he had in mind at all. He wanted something a lot bigger than that. He wanted to become an instrument of God while he's alive and on this bed sometime before he leaves the planet. He wanted to be able to do something for the cause of God. And so he did the same thing again, right? And suddenly those powers of heaven came down. And when the two young men came back, he said, "All right, I'll teach you. And I tell you how we're going to do it. You take the head of my bed, and you take the foot of my bed, and you carry me from village to village in India, and we'll teach the people. As we go between the villages, I will teach you, and when we get to the villages, together we will teach the people." Beloved friends, those three, that man and the two young men with him, were the ones who were responsible for opening up the first three all Baha'i villages in the subcontinent of India. He couldn't move from his bed and he was paralyzed. But the power of heaven came down and he became an immortal hero whose name is inscribed forever and will be down through the ages. Along with that immortal galaxy of heroes that you know so well. Well, you have more health, you have more resources, you have more youth, you have more of everything in the world than he had. Please turn your hearts to Baha'u'llah. And during this conference, don't let it end. Somewhere, sometime, some conference is going to do something wonderful for the cause of God. Let me tell you again who you are. Blessed Beauty is speaking. The very breath of these souls, us, the very breath of these souls is itself richer than all the treasures of the earth. Happy is the man that hath attained thereunto, and woe betide the heedless. Baha'u'llah says from the Abha kingdom, we verily behold your actions, and if we perceive from them the sweet-smelling savors of purity and holiness, we will most certainly bless you, and then will the tongues of the inmates of paradise utter your praise and magnify your names amidst them who have drawn nigh unto God. And then one of the sweetest of all promises to us, in which he tells us he will keep his promise if we will arise. Lurker Beauty says, come, come ye that I may make you the kings of the realm of my kingdom. If ye obey me, you will see that which we have promised you. You will see that which we have promised you. And I will make you the companions of my beauty in the heaven of my might forever. If we arise. All of these promises are in this recording made by Continental Board of Counselor Elena Marcella, the National Spiritual Assembly of Hawaii, Hands of the Cause, for all of the world, and there can be, you can, more of them, you can get them all from Wilmette, as they're given to the world as a gift from the Continental Board of Counselors, who made the whole program possible and wanted the people to know this day, especially when they launched that great intensified teaching campaign, remember, last September 16th. The Blessed Beauty said, the hosts of the earth cannot prevent the Almighty from achieving his purpose. And again, in the Epistle of the Son of the Wolf, page 150, he said, all that hath been sent down hath and will come to pass, word for word, upon the earth. So we don't have to give our lives, the beloved guardian said. We have to weep away our lives in drops like the candle for guidance of mankind. And that's in the words to you in the Western Hemisphere. Tablets of the divine plan, the master said, that if we became candles of guidance, that we would have universal divine confirmations. The Supreme Concourse would reinforce us uninterruptedly, and a most great victory would be obtained. It hasn't been. I hope it will now. And that's how we become martyrs, teaching martyrs. And I'm coming now to the end. Beloved guardian said, to live and to teach in the present day is like being martyred in those early days. It is the spirit that counts, and that spirit is to serve the cause of God with our heart and with our soul, however hopeless the prospect. Since we're the descendants of the Dawnbreakers, beloved friends, I recall when I was writing Release the Sun, the marvelous story of that Mullah Hussein. Bob said the very dust above his head, the dust was so powerful that it could bring joy to the disconsolate and healing to the ill. And Baha'u'llah said God would not have ascended to his seat of mercy and to his throne if it hadn't been for Mullah Hussein. He faced all the problems we did and a lot more. One day he went out standing on his lance in the middle of the open field at Barfarush, on the plains of Barfarush, near Sheikh Tabarsi. 12,000 soldiers at one time surrounding the little fort with 313 defenders of the faith, the Babis. Mullah Hussein wanted them to stop so they could have free access to go and teach the word of God. And he stood talking to all the soldiers, leaning on his lance, and he said, O people, why without inquiry under the influence of passion and prejudice and misrepresentation do you act so cruelly toward us? Without cause you shed innocent blood? Be ashamed before your Creator God and give us passage. Let us be free to depart on our way in peace to teach the word of God. The general of the enemy who wrote the story later and told it said that the soldiers were very moved, and so much so he became alarmed, and he told them to shout and to drown out Mullah Hussein's voice because he was so eloquent and he had that great power. And he appealed to them, and he turned around again and began to talk to them, and finally, looking at all of those soldiers in the great circle, he said, "Is there anyone here who will help me? Is there anyone here who will help me? Is there anyone here who will help me?" And the soldiers, some of them began to weep, and they were afraid they would defect, and they said, "Shoot your guns, fire them off, shout," and they began to pound their swords and their harnesses to drown out his voice. And finally, Mullah Hussein turned his eyes toward heaven, and he said, "We have tried, O my God, and it is useless." And he went back into the fort, put on his green turban, the gift from the Bab, and said to his companions, "Throw wide the gates, mount your steeds, O heroes of God, and ride out to your destiny." Today, here in Alaska, I hope this will be the beginning of such a victory. So on behalf of all the standard bearers in North America, John Robarts, the Zikrullah Kardem, myself, especially on behalf of the standard bearer, the precious gift of love and the treasure that's come to us as a representative of the World Center, Mr. Carlos Featherstone, on behalf of all the continental boards of counselors who have now circled the earth and all of the national assemblies in North America, I will repeat that appeal of Mullah Hussein to you, the valiant horsemen of the cause of God, for the time is short, the hour is late, and the workers who love are few. Is there anyone here who will help me? Is there anyone here who will help me? Is there anyone here who will help me? Allahu Akbar. Then let us in triumph close with this trumpet call of the beloved Master. To his valiant combatants on earth who at times feel disheartened, our ever-victorious Commander Abdu'l-Bahá gives us the following assurance. O ye servants of the sacred threshold, the triumphant hosts of the celestial concourse, arrayed and marshaled in the realm above, stand ready and expectant. Ready and expectant to assist and assure the victory to that valiant horseman who with confidence spurs on his charger into the arena of service. Well is it with that fearless warrior who, armed with the power of true knowledge, hastens unto the field, disperses the armies of ignorance, scatters the hosts of error, who holds aloft the standard of divine guidance and sounds the clarion of victory. By the righteousness of the Lord, he hath achieved a glorious triumph and obtained the true victory. With such inspiring words as these, the beloved guardian concludes, are we to remain any longer unmoved and inactive? His trumpet call resounds on every side and summons us to service. Are we to tarry or hesitate? His voice is calling aloud from every land. Let us march on unfettered and unafraid and fulfill our glorious destiny. So throw wide the gates of your hearts, beloved friends. These days you're in Alaska, prepared to rush out and serve your Lord as never before in this conquest of North America. Are you ready? Talk to me. Well, then let us get the hold of the sword of Mullah Hussein, right? Symbolically, the sword of sacrifice, real sacrifice. Baha'u'llah said, appreciate the days in which you live, for they will come to you no more, and you will never have a like opportunity. So we call out to from Alaska to Bahia and to Merida, and we tell them that we are coming, and we hope that they too are doing the same. So mount your steeds, O heroes and heroines of God, and ride out to victory.